Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody today. We welcome you to worship. So glad that you are here. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way that we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take this pew pad, write your name down so everybody has a chance to fill it out. Write your name down, give us contact information, and send it down so everybody can fill it out on your pew. We do ask that last person, when you are done, if you could send it back to where it got started. And we ask that first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. Several things listed in your bulletin. Just going to draw your attention to a couple of them. First, we are having children's time today. So invite the kids to come down here right after the first hymn and see me. Also, it is, we have College Parkers this week. Krista wanted me to make note of that. And the whole ministry team will be meeting on Wednesday, March the 25th. So make sure you make note of those things. Let's see. It is time for annual North American missions offering. Goal is $5,000, so we are collecting those offerings now. We're also collecting shampoo. We're looking for 150 full-size bottles of shampoo. That will go down to the downtown prison ministry. And so there is a box as you enter the church outside of Smith Hall. There is a box to collect those in. So we appreciate anyone. We're going to finish that by the end of this month, and we appreciate anyone who's able to help us with that. In about a month and a week or so, we are starting our revival, having a big tent out in the front lawn of the church from Sunday evening to Wednesday evening, April 26th through the 29th. And we're looking forward to that. Now, with all the equipment needs that we have for that, we're not going to tear down each night and set it back up each day. So what we're asking, we need 24-hour watchmen who are under the tent. And so we've signed up for, there's a sign up for 6-hour shifts. Raymond, he will be signing you up. He'll be glad to take your name. If you're able to assist us in the morning, early in the morning, afternoon, we're doing it 24 hours a day, 6-hour shifts. So if you're able to sit out there, we would very much appreciate it. Very excited. We have one of our college students here this morning. Many of you know him. Some of you may be a new face to you, but he is a pretty face. So, Tyler Lee, come talk to us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope everybody's doing well this morning. Yeah, so I'm Tyler Lee. I see a lot of faces I recognize, some I don't, but hopefully I get to know you. I grew up here at College Park, and now I'm at UNC Charlotte, getting ready to head into my senior fifth round year. So, yeah, looking forward to it. But here this morning to talk to you guys about an opportunity I've been blessed with. Being involved at my college, I found a campus ministry there called Campus Outreach. And that ministry pretty much just has a vision, is glorifying God by building laborers for the lost world on a college campus. So literally, we're just getting equipped for that through that. But this summer, I have the opportunity to go to this thing called Summer Beach Project. And it is 8 weeks at Myrtle Beach. Yeah, sounds like a great time. It is. So I'm going down there, and through that, we'll be getting equipped pretty much to be a disciple of Christ and how to live an evangelistic lifestyle. With that, you learn how to have Bible study training, prayer training, stewardship training, leadership training, all these packages that they shove into 8 weeks with 180 to 200 college students from all around the region. So I'm excited about it. My goal there, I went to this thing last year. Let me back up a little for a second. I went to this last year, and a lot of you guys supported me, and literally it was the best summer of my life, just how the Lord worked and showed himself to me and grew in me really a love more for him. And I'm excited, and I want more of that. I want to go back. So this summer, I'll be returning, and it'll be my second summer, but I'll be heading as a room leader. And as a room leader, that job description is pretty much you're leading other men there. So I'll be there to help. I'll have two guys that I'll kind of be under my wings this summer, and looking forward to meeting those guys. But through that, it's just going to be life on life, real discipleship, learning to grow alongside with them, but also just showing them the love of Christ in that. So I'm excited and pumped about it. I have a goal. I have to raise money for this thing. Yeah, that's the downfall of it. Wish I could just go to Myrtle Beach for 8 weeks with no cost. But it is $1,700. And I need you guys to partner in with me on this. And not only through finances, but most importantly, prayer. Prayer is literally, I've grown so much a love for prayer because through that, that's how I'm getting through the school year. That's how I'll get through this summer, just relying on the Lord through that. So I would love for you guys to partner with me. The cost of the trip is going to be $1,700. And I'll have this envelope. Well, first, I'll have a list after church that people can put your name and address, and I can send you this envelope. And you can't see this. It has campus outreach written on it. So everybody has that table in their house that you get the mail and you just toss it. Well, if you see something with campus outreach on it, don't toss it to the table just yet. Check it out because it's from me. Yeah, this ministry has really grown me and I'm very thankful for it. And ultimately, it's kind of made me take this Christian walk. I like using this analogy. It's kind of a parade. Everybody knows like the Macy parade at Christmas time. How a parade has two big parts of it, a spectator and a participant. And I kind of see our Christian walk as being that parade for Jesus. And I'm at a point now in my life where I don't want to be a spectator anymore in my faith. I want to be a participant. I want to be active, and I want to be working towards this thing. And I would love you guys' support with it. So that's the opportunity I have. I hope that you guys will partner with me in that. Mainly, if you can't even finance it, I'd really just love to meet you and ask for you to pray for me through this thing. So I'll be down in the hallway after church if you want more details. Thank you.
Folks, we raise a lot of money from missionaries around the world right here. If we don't raise $1,700 today for what he's trying to do, reaching the people in Myrtle Beach, that's what God's called us to do today. And we're very proud of you and many of our college students who are standing up for Christ on their campuses. The stories are incredible. And I'm very thankful for the example that Tyler sets to all of us. No longer should we be spectators. We should be participants in our faith. Thank you for coming. And we could probably just pass the plate now, right, and just go home. Okay, good. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You've given us your information on the pew pad, and we appreciate that. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers are coming back now, and they're going to give you a packet of information. And inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church, also a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. So good to be here this morning. So I just to make sure we're all together, I need you to breathe in and out. If you haven't been given another gift today, that was a gift. Just to have breath. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let us prepare for worship. pray with me? Father, you have given us your breath. Because of that gift, we praise you. As the psalmist reminds us, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. What a gift you are. You uphold us by your very hand. You sustain us with your strength. You give us purpose with your forgiveness. May we worship you with everything we have. In Jesus' name, be in this place. In Jesus' name, speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, it's good to see everybody this morning. We'll wait for Jared to come. Now, I've got a question that I'm a little nervous to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Okay? And I don't need you to... I want you to nod your head either yes or no. Okay? Have you... Don't tell me, I just want you to nod your head, okay? Have you ever been in trouble? Yes or no? Yeah. Nods, yes. Have we ever been in trouble? Yes or no? Answer. Hampton, you've never been in trouble? Oh, it's interesting. Thomas, has Hampton ever been in trouble? Yes. Now, y'all didn't know you were going to do this, but you've proven my point. Now, what happens, like, when we get in trouble? What's the very first thing that we want to do? Get out of there. Yeah? Rebecca? Get out of the freezer? Well, that when you're in trouble, get out of the freezer. Do you get in the freezer? Oh, okay. Is that time out? Is that where the time out's in the freezer? Okay. We'll talk later. All right. So I have a younger brother and sister, and they were 4 years younger than me. And, well, I remember one time that I had to walk, when I was in fifth grade, I had to walk, and my mom's here. Everybody wave at my mom. She's right down here. Okay. And it's not really her fault, but I was in fifth grade, and I wanted to be in safety patrol so, so bad. But because we walked to school, and my brother and sister were in first grade, I had to walk them to school, so I couldn't be in safety patrol. That was the only thing I ever wanted to do with my fifth grade life, was be in the safety patrol. But they, well, anyway, we won't talk about that. But there was a time, one of the things when we walked to school, we would have to go over this creek, and there was this pole, this thing that you could walk over the creek and get from one side of the creek to the other. That's way cooler than being on safety patrol. Oh, yeah. Not until your little sister falls in the creek. And who do you think got blamed for the little sister falling in the creek? I remember it was me and my brother. Yeah, because we're supposed to. Yeah, oh, they blame you for everything. I know. Yep. Yeah. Well, that's exactly what we do when we get in trouble. We blame somebody else. It was somebody else's fault. I didn't do it. It was this person's fault, or this person made me do it. Isn't that what we do? We don't want to get in trouble, do we? So we come up with somebody else did it. Well, this morning, Pastor Raymond's going to talk exactly about that. We shift the blame for stuff that we do all the time. But God loves us, and He knows. He knows that He wants us to trust Him. We're going to mess up, and instead of blaming people when we mess up, what should we do? Ask for forgiveness to our mommies, our daddies, but most our sisters, our brothers, but most importantly to God. So the next time when you get in trouble and you do something wrong, don't say this person did it or that person did it or made me do it. Say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Help me not do it again. And that could be to your mommy, your daddy, grandma, granddad, a friend. But most importantly, who do we pray to? God. That's what it means to ask for forgiveness. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we mess up all the time, but we don't like being in trouble. So we shift the blame. We say it's somebody else's fault. In reality, it's our fault. Help us to ask for forgiveness when we mess up. Help us to ask it of you or people that we love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go back to your seats.
Wow. Our call to confession, prayer of confession, assurance of pardon is right along with that children's sermon. We know where to go when we get in trouble, don't we? We go to God and we ask forgiveness. So our call to confession begins with Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 7. Wonderful words for us today. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Would you join me in our prayer of confession and joining in the bold print, please? O Lord, you desire truth in our inward being. Teach us wisdom in our secret heart. Send out your light. Send out your truth. And let them lead us to our home. Take from us the weight of our sin, that room might be made for the Spirit of truth. If we prepare a dwelling place, that Spirit will abide within us. And the truth will set our spirits free. Then we shall love not only in word or speech, then we shall love in deed and in truth. And by this know our service is faithful. O Lord, you desire truth in our inward being. Teach us wisdom in our secret heart. Amen. And then from Psalm 91, verses 14 through 16, hear these words of assurance from God. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Yeah. Will you bow with me? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you in this time of Thanksgiving, we know that we have so much to be thankful for. We are so grateful for the opportunity to be here in this church today with our friends and our church family. We are thankful for every person that is here and all the gifts that you have given us. God, we're grateful for the ministries of this church, for the ways that you allow us to serve you. And we're grateful for the many blessings that you have given us and for this time that we can come and share our gifts back with you and partner with you in your ministry. We pray that we would always be cheerful givers, dear God, that we would rejoice in the opportunity, in any opportunity that we have to share in your ministry. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
are continuing on in our Lenten journey. And as we travel together, in many ways find ourselves faced with some of the same predicaments that the children of Israel face from time to time. And this morning we're going to take one of those parallels and kind of build off of it just a little bit. Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, a familiar story to each of us, but we're going to take that and look at, as Jeff has already said, talk about the blame game or blame games sometimes that we play with God and with ourselves. Numbers 21, beginning in verse 4. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient along the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food." I said 9 o'clock sounds like a first-year college student talking to me. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, as we look at your word, help us to be honest with ourselves. Father, we pray that your Spirit would convict us, touch us at the point of our need and the point where we need to give things to you. Teach us, mold us, so that we truly can be more like Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. In our Lenten journey this year, we have been using Patrick Lencioni's book. And the title of the book is Five Dysfunctions of a Team. And I've showed it to you in weeks past, kind of a red cover. It's a good book. I mean, it really is. But the main thing is we've been using it kind of to sit beside the Hebrew scriptures from the Lenten lectionary text that we've been reading to see how God has dealt with building relationships with mankind, with human beings, with our ancestors in faith, as well as with us. And we've looked at the fact, using Lencioni's book as a guide, as well as scripture and the covenants that we see in scripture, we looked at that first level of a relationship, kind of the bottom of the pyramid, if you want to envision it that way, whether it's with a team or whether it's with a marriage situation or with a friendship or within the context of larger community of church. And that bottom level is trust. And relationships must be built on trust. We talked about the covenant that God made with Noah. It was a relationship of trust that he began with Noah, as God promised Noah and all living things that he would not destroy the whole earth with water. And God and humans began to understand the nature of a trust relationship with God and what that looks like, how God reached down because we were not able to build that relationship, how he reached down and began the process of building that relationship of trust with us. After trust is built in the team, the next week we looked at the willingness to be vulnerable, what it means to share our feelings, our thoughts, what it means to risk conflict, and how to deal with conflict in a healthy way, how to deal with disagreement in a healthy way. And that we found out was the next building block. Once there's trust, then understanding what it means to deal with conflict, not being afraid of conflict, but dealing with it in a healthy way. And the example we used from Scripture was Abram, as he was able to go to God and say, "Look, you promised me I was going to have all these descendants, all of these children, and hello, nada, what's the deal? What are we going to do about this?" And after that trust relationship was established and God and Abram came to an agreement there and God helped Abram understand what his bigger plan was and told Abram, who became Abraham by name, "It's okay. I can handle your questions. I can handle that. So that was kind of the next building block in this whole situation. And after the trust had been established and each party's willing to be vulnerable and honest and open and sharing and not necessarily afraid of conflict, then the next week we looked at what it means to be willing to commit to the agreed upon decisions and the action of the team. And that was last week. And as you remember, we talked about the fact that God gave Moses and the freed slaves, those who had been living in captivity, those who had been slaves all their life, God gave them some commandments to teach them how to live together, how to live in relationship with one another, and how to live in relationship with God. And once they had learned all of that, once these commitments had been made, then the team needs to be held accountable. That's the next step. That's the next point in the pyramid. There needs to be accountability in our relationships. It's living out that plan. It's living according to those guidelines that God had given them. You know, when you get to that point, they had a little problem. They had a big problem. And that's what our text deals with today. You see, there is a dysfunction known as the lack of accountability. Others would say, well, it's just really low standards, which is kind of the same thing. If you set your standards low enough, you'll probably meet them. Okay? But God's expectations of us is much higher than that. He desires the best for us. And part of that process is to build in accountability to it. And if there's one thing that God has constantly tried to do with us, with our relationship with Him, it's to help us realize that there are consequences to our actions. When we choose to be disobedient, yes, there is forgiveness. But many times, God chooses to leave the consequences in place as a teaching tool, to help us to understand, yes, I do forgive you, but there still are consequences to your action. And we as we discipline our children and as we discipline one another, you know, we understand that the root for discipleship, the root for disciple, and the root word for discipline are the same. It's because God loves us that He holds us accountable and disciplines us. It's because we love our children that we hold them accountable and discipline. Discipline is an act of love. It's not an act of wrath. It's an act of love. And so we understand all that and we get all of that. But it's still difficult lessons to learn sometime. And from the very beginning, as you go back and read about Adam and Eve, and you read about, you know, their actions in the Garden of Eden. You know, after Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit and God confronted them, and He said, Adam, surely you haven't done this. Have you eaten of this fruit? What's the first thing Adam does? Yeah, well, that woman, that woman. But see, he doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop with blaming Eve. What did he say next? That you gave me. That woman that you gave me, God. So he's blaming not only Eve, who else is he blaming? Yeah. Yeah. It's a wonder the human race continued. All right, reset. We're starting over. You know, it was a worthwhile experiment, but man, yeah. First sin, and he blames God. You know, God has sought ever since to help us understand accountability. You know, but whether we understand it or even accept responsibility does not change the fact that God is still going to hold us accountable. Our refusal of the fact does not change it. God's still going to hold us accountable because He loves us and He desires the best for us. God freed the slaves from Egypt. He freed His people from Egypt. Led them through the Red Sea, gave them water from the rock, gave them bread from heaven, gave them quail to eat, took care of their needs. He gave them the basic guidelines on how to be in relationship with one another and with Him. And as we read it, these ex-slaves had traveled together through the wilderness. And in our story today, they became impatient with God. Here in the background Are we there yet? How much further we have to travel? Can we stop and go to the restroom? I mean, it's just grumbling, griping, complaining. Why are we out here anyway? The food stinks. Long days, hard nights. Why are we out here? Life is so much better in slavery. Huh? We have very short memories as human beings, don't we? Yeah. They said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? He's taking care of their needs. He's teaching them how to live together with freedom. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? Instead of delivering, instead of following through on their commitment, they once again try to get out of their responsibility. They try to change the situation by shifting the blame to Moses and who? God. Again, why have you brought us up here? Why? And in the biblical text, we find that God sends poisonous serpents, snakes. Russell Talley, are you here? There he is. There's actually, in the correct translation on this, fiery serpents. Russell and I have had this conversation because there actually is an animal that they know in that area as fiery serpents, okay? And sometimes we just think it's like a rattlesnake, but it's not. It's a different kind of animal. And that's very insightful. He and I have had this conversation, and that was a great insight because there is an animal in that area that, man, it's wicked. I mean, it's a wicked little thing. And these things, when they bite you, it's bad news. It's bad news. But isn't it interesting how God has used now one of these little animals, whatever you want to call it, a fiery serpent or a poisonous serpent or whatever you want to call it. He's now using one of those things. Instead of being an animal that is tempting the children of Israel, tempting mankind, he's now using a similar type of animal, venomous type creature, to dispense justice, to teach them about discipline. So the people go to Moses. They admit their sin. Give them partial credit. They admit their sin. And then they ask Moses to pray to God for them. And I think at the time, this has always fascinated me. They're still, even after God gave them the commandments to teach them how to be in relationship with him, they still go to Moses, pray for us, will you? Will you pray for us? But you know, we do the same thing. Sometimes when we're hurting, we're in the midst of something and we want deliverance from that, we get our prayer warrior buddies around us and say, will you pray for me? And sometimes we do that with good intentions, but we do that before we even talk to God about it. And God's saying, hello, I'm right here. Talk to me. Pour it out. I can handle it. Talk to me. I'll answer you. Talk to me. And yes, they get partial credit because they at least, you know, they admitted their sin and they went to Moses and said, tell God we're sorry. We want to do better. Help us. So he did that. He took the people's request to God in prayer. But what's interesting is God did not remove those little pesky whatever they were. He didn't move them. He didn't remove them. The little fiery serpents, the venomous snakes, whatever you want. He did not remove them. The circumstances had changed, but they still probably looked very similar. The difference was that God had given them a way for healing. He had provided a means for salvation. He said, if you get bit, you look at that serpent up on that pole that Moses made, and you'll live. Sometimes we want God just to wipe out the circumstance, and anything short of that we see as God's failure to act, right? Let's be honest. But sometimes he leaves the serpents in place and changes the mode of salvation from those circumstances. And we have to be talking to him to understand what he's asking, what he has provided, the way of deliverance that he's provided for us. You see, it's God who provides the healing. But it's people, it's us, who need to begin to take responsibility, to take a step of faith in order to receive the healing. Rightly or wrongly, in our own lives, we put a lot of blame on God. If things aren't exactly right in our marriage, we blame God. If our bodies are getting older, we blame God. If our finances are shrinking but our waistline is growing, we blame God. The job we may have lost, the promotion we didn't get, the latest tornado or hurricane or earthquake or blizzard, we blame all that stuff on God. And he's going, wow, really? You haven't learned a thing here. And no matter what you are living through now, whatever your circumstances are now, I think there's some questions we need to answer. Do we believe that God is there with us? Well, the church answers what? Yes, preacher, yeah. Yes. But do we really? Do we believe God is with us personally? Does he care about me personally? Does he care about my circumstances specifically and personally? Do you really believe that? And if you do, do you believe that God has provided a way out, a way that can bring healing to everyone, everything involved, even though to the naked eye it may appear as if the circumstances have not changed, the serpents are still there, but he has provided a way of salvation. Do you really believe that? See, those are very personal questions. And understand, this passage of Scripture has always been one of my very favorites, because Jesus references it directly. In that passage of Scripture, we love to quote John 3:16. You see it at football games, in case you haven't noticed, okay? John 3:16. For God so loved the world, yes, he did, that he sent a sacrifice. He sent his son as a sacrifice, and our responsibility is to believe that and to accept that. And if we do, then we have eternal life with him. Yes, that's verse 16. But in verses 14 and 15, leading up to verse 16, Jesus references this very story and says, much like the children of Israel looking at the bronze snake, looking up to, he says, so I will die on a cross. I will die. And you will need to look up. You will need to acknowledge my death on the cross. He doesn't say all that in detail, but read it. It's very fascinating how he goes right back to this point and foreshadows his own death. So I guess we have this story, and we're forced to kind of make some choices. It's more than just an intellectual exercise we've been about this morning. This is the season of Lent. This is a time for examination. This is a time for looking at our relationship with God, seeing what needs to be changed. So if you have committed to a life of following Jesus as Lord and Savior, are you really willing to live that commitment out and to trust God no matter what's happening in your life, understanding, believing that he'll lead you through it? No matter how tough it may get, that he's there and he's taking care of you. Do you really believe it? You see, there's a sense here that it's kind of a circular process. You say, well, I need to take that step to live in faith and to trust God with my life. That's kind of step one. I really need to acknowledge that. But then as we take that step of faith, we make a commitment to follow God and to seek to do His will in our lives no matter what conflict arises, no matter what external circumstances happen. And then as we live a life of love and as we live among the poisonous snakes, if you will, as we live among the fiery serpents in life, of the world who wants to do us in a spiritual sense. And as we walk through that, it's once again that in faith we look to God to heal us and to lead us through. And as we come out on the other side of that, we look back and we see much clearer sometimes in the rearview mirror than we do out the front glass. And as we see what God did and how He delivered us, then we give thanks and we give praise and we say, Father, I want to be more fully trusting in my life. And the process begins again. It's called discipleship. Right, brother? It's called discipleship. Trusting, seeing God at work, acknowledging Him at work, thanking Him, praising Him, growing deeper and deeper and deeper with every cycle of life's trials and circumstances. Becoming more like Christ along the way. So what poisonous snakes, what fiery serpents are you dealing with? What are you dealing with today? And are you willing to be committed enough to Jesus to trust that God's going to bring you through it? Tough questions, personal questions. Let's pray and ask Him for His help. Gracious Father, we acknowledge that You love us, and we thank You for that. But we also acknowledge that we fall so short. Our faith, we may talk a good game, but our faith falls short the minute things get a little bit tough. We pray that we would learn from this story, that we would learn from what Jesus taught us and how it means to walk with Him daily. Even though life circumstances get difficult, or even in times when they're all going our way, we pray that we would be faithful to look to You as Your Spirit guides us and journeys with us. Father, as that happens, and as we respond and as we see You at work, we pray that we would give You the praise and the glory that only You deserve, so that others will come to know You through the testimony of our lives and how we deal with life situations. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you do not have that foundational relationship, trust, belief in Jesus Christ, a relationship of trust with Him, that we need to settle that first thing. That's the first step in all of this. So if you're here this morning and you do not have that personal relationship with Christ, I'd love to talk with you. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I'll be here at the front. I'd love to talk with you about that. If you are here and you are a believer, but you say, man, things are just cascading down and I'm just not dealing with it very well, today was for you. Today was for all of us, but specifically for those who are looking at difficult situations, to understand what God desires from us, even in those tough circumstances. Give those to Him. Let Him work in your life and let you be a willing participant in letting Him guide you and see you through. If you're here and you say, well, I'd really like to be a part of this congregation, we welcome you. We have many ways we receive members, and I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now.
Thank you.
Let me challenge you following the benediction. We will, and the response, to greet one another, encourage one another. Tyler's going to be out here in the vestibule. If you speak a word of encouragement to him, be a part of his team. Prayer support, as he's told you over and over, and he means it. He's sincere about this. Your prayer support for him will mean more than any dollar. But if you're able to go the next step, he would appreciate that as well. I also want to challenge you during the course of this week and all the weeks leading up to, please be in prayer for our revival services. The last time we had one of these, there was people that walked in from all over the community. It's very visible. And that's exactly what we desire. We desire for people, even if we haven't invited them, you know, we didn't know to invite them, as they walk in, it's a wonderful opportunity for us. So we need to be ready for that. We need to be spiritually and emotionally ready to welcome people and to help point them to Christ, not to us, not to College Park Baptist Church, but to Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's be in prayer about that. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. It's been a wonderful day of praise and worship to you. Father, we pray that it's not just an intellectual exercise or an emotional feel-good, but it's an opportunity for us to change our hearts and attune them to your will within our lives. Father, we pray that we would live that out this week, that we would look for opportunities to help people along their journey, even as you help us. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.